New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1045, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, our managing editor, downtown, Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And joining us for this episode and the next one, sitting in for Derek and Jamie, who are both out traveling, one of our longtime friends of the show, rapper, poet, coffee company CEO. Please welcome the show, Propaganda.
Hey, first things first, I'm Propa, selling all the coffee. All right, y'all, what's up, you guys?
Man, we're excited that you're hanging out with us, man.
Prop, it's so good to hear your voice in this guy. Like, I feel like I'm in it. We're all in like a text thread that I kind of pop in and out of, but usually we're usually talking about basketball or just something ridiculous one of us stumble on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There's something about the old school just hearing somebody's voice, you know?
Man, imagine that, communicating with a human.
I know.
Directly.
I mean, look, text is communicating. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talk to you guys every day and I still miss you. Like, I was like, how? As soon as y'all popped on the screen, I was like, I miss these dudes.
Well, Prop, I appreciate you being on here, and also your frequent contributions to our text thread, which I'm just surprised you can do either, because you seem like one of the busiest humans alive. Yeah. You seems like you got a lot of irons in the fire.
Hey, how many group chats do you have going right now?
Oh, that is a great question. I will look at my phone right now because...
I'm going to go above 10. I'm going to say above 10.
Above 10? Man, let me see. Active. Okay, so there's a Lakers one that's active. There's a neighborhood one.
Well, that's a loser
there's
one. You should rename it losers.
Slow down. You knew to this winning thing. Okay, so you just got here. Okay. There's that. There's the two family ones. There's the extended family one. There's you guys. There's 9. I got 9 active group texts.
Oh.
You're so close. That's still a lot of group messages to be a part of. You have to have at least 1,000 notifications.
Oh, no. All the notifications have been turned off since 2015. I check when I'm ready to check. And that's that's really how you balance it all. It's just like, I mean, I don't
like you and Derek will be arguing about something on a Saturday and I'm trying to sleep in. I've muted that thing.
Yeah. See, it's just like, and then the other way around. So yeah, yep. I get it. I'll wake up and be like, oh, they've been talking about stuff.
Yeah, that's how I am. Like, midday afternoon, like coming back from like kids basketball, I fire up the phone. It's like 50 texts, you know?
Yeah.
And I look and, you know, it's either bickering over, you know, something basketball related or just random.
We're talking about salacious rumors about Christian pop stars.
right. Yeah, that was a long one. Are you guys the type to like actually scroll back and read the conversation, or do you just fast scroll down to the bottom and just start another convo?
I catch up. Yeah, I catch up.
You catch up.
I gotta catch up because I gotta know like everything. Like, because my friend group will have 7 conversations in 50 messages. Like, because there's like so many people in there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I need to know what we're all. And I will send like a block of text addressing like so-and-so. Here's what I say to you. Like, addressing it.
All of it?
The reply thing on TikTok, on text like really saved my life because I can like literally just reply to a message directly and be like, this is what I want to say. This like, but then it just also lengthens the text to an annoying amount.
See,
it's insane.
See, when I was a kid growing up, there's an infomercial. I loved infomercials as a kid. This is, you know, for our younger listeners, before the era of streaming, you often had to sit through commercials and sometimes you just find yourself watching them at length. Like, it's like an hour long commercial.
Did you have a favorite infomercial?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you left on Comedy Central during the day and you turn it on late at night, they would just sell their late night stuff to infomercials.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's one I became obsessed with. It was like for a speed reading program where this guy had a book in his hand. Okay. He had a book, and this isn't a video pod, so I'm just going to describe it when I show these guys. He got a book in one hand. He's holding it open like a novel, like a really thick one, right? Something looked really boring. And he's got his other hand, and he's got just, you know, it like a kind of karate chop, right?
Yeah.
He places it down on the book, and he just moves it down the page like this. Like, just waving down the page.
Waving down the page. Left, right, super fast.
Yeah.
As if somehow he's absorbing the text with his hand. And he would touch the page.
No, the whole claim was that he had 100% retention.
That's what, yeah. But you're familiar with this infomercial.
Of course, of course. Dude, I tried to read like that in high school. I tried to like
so did
fake
I.
it.
I was like, this is like best. A superpower here.
Yeah.
I will be one of the smartest people alive. I never ordered the product, but I did watch the infomercial enough that I think that I was like, I can master the technique just from this
infomercial. It's like you went to the teaser of the Tony Robbins seminar to sell you on going to the Tony Robbins seminar.
I did the free trial version.
Yeah, you don't need to go the whole thing. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I don't need the $7.99 a month.
It's like watching a... Yeah, I can watch a preview of a masterclass. I get it. I don't need to sit down with Gordon Ramsay for 2 hours. All that to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does this have to do with our group chat?
Because I apply the same technique to long text threads that I'm behind on. I just quickly, as I scroll, I don't stop. I'm just absorbing it with my eyes and I'll catch keywords.
I got you.
Like, if it's like a neighborhood guest, barbecue, summer, so-and-so's house. Now, I don't know who's saying what. I don't have time with this technique to absorb who's texting what. But I get the overall gist of what people are talking about. So when I run into people, it's like, how was the barbecue? You know?
And they're like, the barbecue from my childhood that I was reminiscing about? What?
Yeah. Well,
the tragic barbecue? My son fell in the pool and he's in the hospital now? Why are you just asking casually how it went, Jesse?
Like I said, the method isn't perfect, but it's better than coming in blind.
This is true.
At least you knew there was a barbecue. Now, Prop, I do have a question. Since we talk a lot of basketball.
Yes.
If you're watching a Lakers game,
uh-huh.
Who are you texting? Your Lakers guys? Or are you texting us about it? Or are you copying and pasting and double dipping on a thought?
I'm going to go see all of the above.
Uh-huh.
Because I have multiple Laker threads. And sometimes some of the homies may have a good point that the other homies need to see. So then now I will cite my source. I'll be like, yo, my other Laker tech said, boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like a thief. You know what I'm saying? I get copyright clearance, you know, granted memes are something totally different. You know what I'm saying? Unless they're going online. So if memes are going online, then I don't cite my source on memes in the group text, but I will online.
But do you cross post to other groups? Do you take that one meme and drop it into four different chats?
Yeah, because all of y'all need to see it. Why not? Were all in one group, unless it's only funny to us. If something is only funny to us, then yes. But like, now there are memes about the Lakers that y'all will never see because I can't trust you with that part of my life. You understand what I'm saying? Yes.
Prop, let me ask this. This is important.
Yeah.
Do you have text threads that are like the threads where you workshop material on?
Yeah.
And then like you're kind of that massaging
killed.
It.
That killed. I'm taking it over to the primetime chat.
Oh my God. Yeah.
A comedian who's like working small clubs to work out the material a little. It's get the cadence right.
Man.
And then you're like, all right, it's ready for the primetime thread.
Yeah.
Like I handle it with the old college buddies, you know?
You know, maybe
be honest.
Like I never thought about it until right now, and I'm like, you know, that might be possible. I think it might be the other way around, though. I workshop the zingers in the text, and then if they're right, I take them to Twitter. I think that's really the more. It's not like I'm not using the homies.
No, I have seen some of our content show up in your tweets. Like,
yeah, if it's good, it'll make it to the Twitter. Now, granted. If it came from you.
Yeah. No, you don't steal. It's fine. No, but like, I'll see you make a point. You'll make a point in our chat. And then you're like, I really like that point, and you'll go put it out on Twitter. Yeah.
I've told people because I don't tweet anymore. I use Twitter to stay up on stuff, but I personally don't tweet anymore.
Uh-huh.
Not for any reason. It's just, I got too
much. Just speed read a post.
Yeah, I don't have time. Yeah. I scroll and get high level. I get the gist of everything, right? Just a quick scroll through. Doesn't matter who said it. Cameron, but you know that infomercial. You know,
1,000%. I seriously tried to read like that.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. Who didn't? It was like, wow, this is going to save me so much time.
I can read an entire book in 15 minutes and get an A. Yeah. Why wouldn't I read like this?
I'm going to find a link to that just to bring me back. Because I used to, that was the one that I would sit down and watch because I had to study it because there's no way I'm going to order the actual program.
I just want to know, I need to know someone who spent $19.99 on the product. And then didn't learn how to speed read.
Three easy payments of $19.99.
Sorry. Because I just don't believe that it can actually, because it's not like this even, you can read fast, but it's the retaining it part. Like
it's but he teaches you like you it's a technique. It's like you every fifth line you look at this phrase and your brain will piece them together. And like there's a method to his madness. I just never learned
it. Pay three easy payments of $19.99.
Yeah. I was 17. I'm not going to, what credit card am I? I'm not calling COD. Yeah.
Prop. I'm glad that you asked for permission. Yeah. I don't tweet, like, not out of principle. I just, yeah. You know, too many replies. I don't have time. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I've seen, I'm not naming any names here, but it's happened on one or two occasions where I've said something funny in a thread and I see it end up on Twitter.
Shut.
And
up.
I know the
yes.
But I give anyone in my text, if you're in the tech circle of trust, if I'm texting with you and it's not something that you would use your judgment, be like, obviously it's private information. If it's a joke, 100% permission to go throw it out on Twitter, no credit required. I'd rather see it out in the wild. I'm almost honored when that happens.
For the culture.
Jesse, what you do with your jokes is what Craig Rochelle and Rick Warren do with their sermons. They want to gift it to all pastors. You can use everything I've written and said and just put your name on it. I'm fine with it.
I don't care.
You are so giving, Jesse. It is very admirable.
So humble of you.
I love it.
Here's what's funny. I was looking at movies this weekend to go see my family because it was bad weather.
Yeah.
And on the website, it had like coming next week, like for the little theater by our house.
Cocaine Bear.
It was Cocaine Bear next to Jesus Revolution, like the two posters. And I wanted to screenshot it. I was like, double feature weekend. And I was like, who would I text this to that would post it on Twitter?
Right.
And I just didn't know who. So I just sat on it, you know? I just sat on
it. It's gold, man.
But it was really funny image, you know?
I mean,
but
if there was ever a time to break your Twitter fast, maybe that was it. Like
it's not a Twitter fest. Jesse's approach to Twitter is like me. I'm on it all the time. We're watching. Now, Jesse does zero interaction. I only will reply about basketball things to basketball people. We're like, they don't know me or anything. You know, I'm just like a fan talking crap to the NBA media people, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's all I do on Twitter. But anyway. All right. Well, we wanted Prop to join us because number one, he's a friend. Number two, we were talking in the group chat the other day about his new coffee business. And I wanted him to come on and tell you guys about his new endeavor. I mean, we have people come on all the time, promote their new album, their new book, whatever. So I wanted Prop to come on and tell you guys about his new venture. And then he has a little special deal. So tell us about Terraform. Coffee Prop.
Yeah, man. Nah, thanks. First of all, thanks for letting me do this. Y'all know I've been like, you know, the Anthony Bourdain of coffee out this mug. You know what I'm saying? For almost all the homies, I'm responsible for radicalizing Derek, you know, for radicalizing Andy, Cray, just light flex over here. But anyway, you know, so the coffee is a cold brew. It's a canned cold brew. It's called Terraform, named in conjunction with, you know, the book, the EPs. If you're familiar with my journey for the last like two, you know, years, like I did a poetry book and then four, you know, EPs tied to the book. And then one of the final products was this cold brew. It is single origin, shelf stabled, meaning like, you know, you don't have to put it in, you're not going to get botulism if you don't put it in the refrigerator. Obviously, it tastes better, but, you know, it's shelf stable. It's something that, you know, it's kind of like new technology to be able to like store cold brew coffee, canned cold brew at room temperature. But
how long does that can last?
So a can can last a year. It could last a year. Yeah. So, you know, obviously there's like justice and equity tie-ins. Partnered who's helping me source is Onyx Coffee Lab. I've done some collabs with them for a while. One of the reasons I partner with them is because on the equity side, they pay upwards of like three times over market value for the beans to the farmers, because it's like, y'all may notice, like it's a $200 billion industry and less than 7% of that stays at origin. Like, so, and you know, coffee only grow at the equator, and you know who else grow at the equator? Brown people. You know what I'm saying? So none of the revenue of this, like almost everything else, never stays at origin. So one of the things that we tried to do in the idea of like terraforming. If, again, if you're following the thread of the poetry and the work, is imagining a better future and building a livable world. So one of those ways is like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's give them a fair wage also. So it's specialty grade coffee, cold brew. You know, it's from Ethiopia. I'm really excited about the artwork. It's like, this is like, you know, I'm not Rihanna, so I can't like pull my little Fendi makeup out during the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? But I could sip some coffee with my relevant family, you know? Man, it's what we doing now. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know, like, years back when I was on Humble Beast, we did Left Roasters. So I had been a part of like specialty coffee for a while, you know, but this is like, I really feel like it's, you know, cold brew has become in some ways like for all the pinky up kind of coffee people, which I, you know, I'm a card carrying one, you know, I feel like it's a bell curve with coffee, just like with like your Christianity. It's like, you know, when you're a new convert, it's like you're at the, you know, you're evangelizing on the weekends everywhere you go. You know, it's great as Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And then you discover like reform theology, right? And then now you're just like, nobody knows the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's a heretic. That's like the coffee guy that's like, oh, you put cream and sugar in it. Oh my gosh. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is this? You drink Starbucks. Like, okay, so look, dude. And then you come out the other end and you understand like we're all saved by grace and it's all beautiful. And you've
deconstructed
the earth
and
is the Lord. You've deconstructed. You know what I'm saying? And then now you're just like, hey, man, I just want you to enjoy a cup of coffee. Anyway, cold brew has been like, has kind of got the like, oh, man, you just take your old beans and just grind them all up into one thing. And, you know, you put it in the fridge. It's like, no, like there's an art there, too. You know, so and at the same time, it's like, yo, you who ain't gonna stand up in the morning and like spend 15 minutes, you know, weighing your beans and making sure you get full extraction. You don't have 17. I'm gesturing right now on this video to one of my coffee setups, right? This is just one of them, you know what I'm saying, of 17 ways to make coffee. If you're not gonna do that, just grab a can, bro. And trust me, it's delicious and you'll love it.
It is delicious.
Terraformcoldbrew.com.
I'm totally in, and I believe I'm a believer in the Terraform brand because I think it was maybe 2 years ago I purchased some coffee as well as a mug, which is the most brilliantly designed mug. I use it literally every morning. The bottom of it is cork, meaning like the top of it is ceramic, but the bottom is like this nice like 1-inch little pad of like cork, like the material. No coasters needed. This it is a mug with a coaster. It's shocked me that this design hasn't just taken over the mug industry. You set it on any table and it's stress free. I'm not, because
most people want to be able to throw their mugs in the dishwasher. That's why the natural fiber cork.
I've been throwing it in the dishwasher for 2 years now.
You lie.
Doing just fine.
It's fine.
I swear to you. Every night it goes in.
All right, so listen. Two things I want to mention. Number one,
every night,
props bona fides about coffee. He was staying at the house a little while ago. We went to a game a month or two ago, and I have the office's coffee maker here. It's this Italian, super automatic, fresh grind, perfect temperature, fresh everything. And I was like, hey, prop.
You need a certification from MIT to make one cup of coffee.
Yeah, all the buttons are in Italian. I mean, everything's in Italian. So anyway, I'm like, prop, do you want a coffee? I can do whatever you want, you know, espresso, whatever. And he goes, what kind of beans you got? I go, well, I got fair trade Starbucks medium roast beans. And he's like, no, I'm good. And he pulls out all of his accoutrements and he takes 15 minutes to do his own cold brew, his own pour over. Incredible. I'm like, I could have made you a coffee, but he would not drink the fair trade Starbucks beans because they're so below his standard, which I respect. Like you said, I mean, there's levels to this.
The thing is, it's like you eliminate variables. It's like, I'm not going to be a jerk. Like if I didn't know you like that, like if we weren't friends like this and I was just visiting a friend's house and they were like, hey, you want some coffee? I'd be like, sure. I'm gonna drink it. It's fine. Best cup of coffee is the one in your hand. But I know if I have the freedom to eliminate a variable, why wouldn't I?
True.
If you know, if you know, you know what I'm saying? You go into a city and you know, if I go to this place, the sandwich is better than that place. I'm just gonna go to where the sandwich is. I already know it's a better sandwich. Like, I don't understand.
No, respect. Respect. Yeah. I thought.
I got to address something, though, real quick.
Yes.
The coffee maker you have, the buttons are not in Italian.
Yeah, they are.
The buttons are in some sort of weird modern hieroglyphic. Like, you look at this coffee machine, one of the buttons is like three squiggly lines with two dots over it.
So
one looks like the hazard button, like if you break down on the side of the road. Like, the coffee machine has a hazard.
But there's a word next to the hieroglyphic that's like in Italian.
It's like the JV team of like the IKEA directions people, to where it's like your hieroglyphs don't even make sense, guys. Yeah.
It's like, okay, this button is two water drops with a line underneath. This one next to it is a lightning bolt above a cup. What? Help me out here. Like, who are these symbols for?
Is this, am I going to get electrocuted?
So I learned the hard way. I learned the hard way that when in America, we order a latte, that's not a latte. Yeah, because the first time I got this, I pressed the button for a latte and it's just a big old cup of milk came out of the machine. So it's a latte macchiato is what you're actually ordering when you're, so I have a latte macchiato button right next to the latte button, but you have to learn the language and the hieroglyphics to be able to use this machine, but still not good enough for prop. I'll just tell you that much. All right. There's one other thing I want to mention before we move on. Yeah. So this is a, you know, three times the wage getting paid to the farmers. The money is going to the right places. It's lifting people up. It's building business, but it's also not cheap. So I told Prop, if you come on, because I was customer number one. I have the invoice number. I was order number one for this thing. So I put my money where my mouth is.
Absolutely. But like,
it's great. It's great. You need to try it, but it's not cheap. So I asked Prop, if you come on, could you give the relevant listeners a discount? And he said yes. So Prop, tell them how they can get a discount at Terraform.
Here's the thing. I'm the CEO. And by the CEO, I mean I'm the only. Ain't no other employees. So I'm also every other position, which means I can offer whatever code I want. So we're going to go promo code relevant. You go to terraformcoldbrew.com and at checkout, just put relevant. Lowercase, you know how to spell, just put relevant, right? And 15% off whatever your order is, right?
There it is.
I'll eat that cost. Don't worry about it. The farmer's already paid. So that's, you know what I'm saying? you're not taking food out of their house. You know what I'm saying? I really want you to enjoy this coffee. You've taken food out of my house, but I'd rather, we'll figure it out later because you're going to come back. And this is only limit per customer. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
But please, get yourself a 12 pack. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, like, if I'm going to be honest with you, the best bang for your buck, I know there's a 24 pack, there's a 6 pack, like, but really the best, like, don't tell nobody, but the best for your buck is the 12 pack. It's weird how it worked out. But either way, it somehow ends up being cheaper cost per can if you get a 12 pack. The point is 15% off terraformcoldbrew.com/code relevant at checkout, 15% off.
Tell your friends. All right. We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to artist Katie Nicole joins us. She has a new album coming out this week, or actually today. We also have your feedback at the end of the show, but stay tuned right now. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. Listening to Bully featuring Soccer Mommy. The song is Lose You. The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music. Okay, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, Emily, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week. Tell us what's going on. That's a terrible intro. Sorry about that.
It's perfect. Keep it. Keep it all.
I feel like the biggest story we have to talk about is the Asbury outpouring that has been going on, or that was going on. This past Monday was the last day it was open to the public, and I actually got to go and speak with students and faculty and staff on the final day, which was just really great to be there.
Yeah. What did you see? What was it like? Now, if people have been following along at our site at RebelMagazine.com, we've been covering it since a couple of days after it kind of started. And you were, it's just interesting that 2 weeks in, they made the proactive announcement that, number one, the last three services this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that just wrapped up, were going to be only 25 and under. Nobody above 25 could attend. And then as of last night, Thursday, no more services on Asbury's campus. They're basically like, if you're showing up, go find somewhere else to meet. Because they got overwhelmed, right? I mean, that's why they made the decision. Is
that's pretty crazy.
Infrastructure, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, it's in Wilmore, Kentucky, which is a population of 6,000 people. That's a total in the city, like, or the town. It is very, very small. And, you know, I was talking with people, best estimate, there's been at least 50,000 people that have shown up.
Wow.
Just
on Saturday, last Saturday, 15,000 people showed up on Saturday alone is what I saw reported.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, it's been crazy. Like they're just trying to, you know, keep everything going. And so it just blew up so quickly. And they did, I do really want to commend the university. I think they did a great job organizing everything. When I was there, like the lines were really peaceful. Funny story, they actually told me they brought in someone who works for Chick-fil-A to help manage the lines because there were just people on campus.
The world's greatest line consultants.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, it was someone I think in like that works like in Lexington.
They're like,
20 minutes away.
Mark, we need iPads with a little hand glove behind it for a full range of motion. We need the offensive. We need like the headphones that like the coach of like a NASCAR team wears, like, you know, like with a little microphone that goes here. Yeah. Like we need
big old headphones.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a big crowd showing up, Chick-fil-A is great to call.
Yeah. It's crazy to hear that while after just reading an article yesterday about American churches like dying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And to hear that there's like this revival in Kentucky, no less, right? Crazy stuff.
And spreading too. I mean, that's the thing, is just it shows a hunger. So there's people going this week. I mean, we've been covering like the end of the on-campus side of it. We've been posting about what's next and kind of like, think about this. They announced on Sunday afternoon online that Monday afternoon, the next day, would be the final public service. But Emily heard countless stories of people that were traveling, driving from Mexico, flying from Finland, you know, coming from Argentina to see what was happening because God was moving. So imagine they're hearing about it. They're seeing the lines on this weekend. They booked their international flight. And then they're like, oh, by the way, tomorrow is the last service. Like, there's going to be a lot of people showing up this week, like wanting to visit the campus and just pilgrimages. And you know what I'm saying? It's going to be interesting to see what happens now that they're trying to say, like, go away, you know, because people are not going to go away. I'm telling you, they're going to keep showing up.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens next. But the cool thing about this prop is like, it's just the organic movement. It was just like, this is not organized. This was just student led.
Yeah.
And we're hearing that it's popping up on other campuses, Samford University, Cedarville, Lee, some other ones. There's some stuff happening, percolating in the students there. So it's almost like maybe this, in hindsight, it's really good that they're ending on a high note. You know, here's 13 days.
Yeah.
And then we got to like spread this out because
it's
a small Christian school. They have midterms next week. Yeah. You know, like these students are like overwhelmed, you know? So,
They didn't cancel classes.
Are there any like big name? Are there like big name people there? Or is it just the kids?
I think there's been like leaders that have shown up and worship leaders that have shown up.
That's so dope.
But they have not they didn't give me names. They were very cautious about it. But there have been apparently some leaders that had reached out and said like, hey, we can speak or lead if y'all want us to. And they said, nope, we're good. We just want this to be for the students, by the students. And so it has all been student led.
If celebrities and pastors showed up, there was this little seating area off in the back. Like the main floor was all students.
See,
they're trying to say, this is not about y'all.
See, take notes, y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Take notes. I hope y'all taking notes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you see how it happens. It's like, yo, like it's not about your name. That's dope.
You know, what's cool is like they charged nothing. Obviously, if you walked into the lobby, there was just tables and tables of free pizza, free candy, free water bottles for people that were there. People were just providing snacks and stuff for free. Wow. There was no merch. There was no ticket sales. It was like just a move of God. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And like there were even people from the community that were like passing out food. Like there was like food trucks and stuff like from people from, I think, Lexington that had come in just to give away food like for people there. You know, like they weren't monetizing it in any way, which is cool.
Man, I am just praying I'm praying nothing weird shows up, like, you know, like next year where it was like, oh yeah, they were praying the return of Jim Crow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just pray nothing weird happens. Well,
they were live streaming it. So I watched it and Emily attended it and it wasn't weird at all.
Yeah. Never mind.
It was very prayer, genuine worship, repentance, nothing more than that. It was really,
so dope.
And it wasn't like, I've been to a lot of the charismatic renewal services like the Toronto Blessing and Brownsville and Lakeland and all the ones over the 90s and 2000s. And those were in the charismatic stream. So there ended up being a more and more of an emphasis on kind of like Holy Spirit manifestation stuff, healings and deliverances and things like that. Things where I call it the granola crowd. It attracts the fruits and nuts, you know, like even if God's doing it, the crowd gets super weird, super fast. The people who want to go. Right. Okay. So I grew up charismatic. I'm charismatic. Yeah. So I can talk about us. Other outsiders can't talk about us. I can. Anyway,
you can crack jokes. Yeah,
this is interesting because this is a conservative, non-charismatic, like Baptist type of school. So for like renewal services to be happening there, none of the weird stuff was going on. It was very much repentance, salvation, worship, and prayer. And that's it. You know, just by the book revival.
I still can't get over the fact that the demand for this was so high that there was some meeting among people that are reasonably powerful. And they're like, the line's just too long. We need help. And I'm picturing them calling like Chick-fil-A and they're like, what's the wait time? Current wait time. What is the current wait? And they're like, it's 22 minutes. 22 minutes. We need the A squad out there. You know what I mean? And I just picture these Chick-fil-A employees parachuting in. Like, you see a helicopter just come over the horizon and, you know, with big slow red motion helicopters.
Yeah.
And they just come parachuting in with like red polos.
Theme music.
Like, my pleasure.
We're going to get this from 22 minutes. Yeah. We're going to get this to 22 minutes to tight four.
And screaming my pleasure.
Dude, it was hours. Yes. It was hours. Yeah. This little tiny auditorium held how many people, Emily?
Like a little under 1,500.
Okay. 15,000 people show up. 1,500 can get in. There's 12,000 people sitting in the grass outside waiting to get in. You know, that's crazy.
There's 10 times the amount of people that this could hold. You know,
and and it's like people are in the chapel. They're not like, there's not a time limit. You're not just there for like 20 minutes. So it's like, you might be waiting outside for like a really long time. It just, I honestly was like very impressed with how smoothly things went. Cause I guess I was also expecting there to be a little bit more chaos. One, just cause they had to throw this together so quickly cause they were not expecting it. But I mean, they said like probably by day three or four, that was when like community, like non-college students and community members started like coming in and they realized like, oh, I think more people want to be here. And so they were like slowly starting it. And then the caravans started coming and, you know, people from literally outside of the country started coming in and they were like, okay, let's
so crazy.
Let's call up Chick-fil-A. We got to go.
Yeah, it's amazing. So if you haven't...
Chick-fil-A, I love it.
If you haven't like caught up or stayed up on everything that's going on, you can check out our coverage over at Relevant. Our traffic over the last 2 weeks has been quintuple what it normally is because of all the Asbury traffic. So yay. But also in the next digital issue of Relevant, we're going to have a kind of a full length, you know, conversation and think piece and profile about what happened and what's next and stuff. So stay, you know, look out for that. All right. What else is going on this week, Emily?
I want to talk about just this really cool philanthropy initiative that Tyler Perry is doing in Atlanta. I don't know if y'all heard about it, but he, over the next several years, he's going to be donating $2.5 million to ensure that senior citizens in Atlanta will be able to keep their homes. Which is just great news because there's a growing housing crisis.
So some context was he talked about that when he bought his studios, they were in a, you know, forgotten part of Atlanta. You know, it was this huge infrastructure that was abandoned.
Yeah.
And so it was like low income housing was all around it. Well, all of a sudden he turns it into Hollywood East and all the property values skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the families that were living in those homes couldn't afford to stay there because the property taxes had gone up so much. Right. So he quietly donated like $750,000 to help the families in their neighborhood stay and keep their homes. And it went so well that then this time he's partnering with the city of Atlanta to roll it out even more widely. And he's donating $2.5 million this time. That is just the coolest thing ever. It's like he wanted to not have a negative impact on his city. He wants to lift people up, which is a really cool thing.
And he's just like covering their taxes just to kind of make sure that, you know, they're not being pushed out or anything, which is, like we said, just so great.
That's so beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And also like, okay, so my political strategist brain kind of tickles.
Yeah, I was curious what you would think about this. Yeah, I was curious.
You could just not charge that in taxes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that, like there's actually an easier solution for this, guys. You could just, you don't have to raise their taxes. Like, I don't, for someone to have to come feel like, I don't understand. You don't have to raise a y'all in charge. You don't have to raise a taxes. It seems like an easier solution here.
The tax code everywhere is based on property value, right? So it's like, how would they be able to select certain valuations and not for this house, but yes for that house?
Yeah, but why?
Well, how else would you gauge the value of,
for what? These people aren't moving.
Yeah, but like
this other guy comes in. So what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to get us to 10,000 feet here.
Yeah, but if we locked taxation,
that's
prices,
a made up number.
But if we locked it at 1950 prices and 2023 wages and inflation, how do you adjust the tax base? Is what I'm saying. If you don't base it on valuations or property value.
Well, if our wages moved at the same pace as property value, this would be a different story. Mm-hmm. But since they don't, you know, because our wages are at 1970, you understand what I'm saying? While our cost of living is 2023. So it'd be a different story. So that's what I'm saying is like this, his being the hands and feet of Jesus also exposed a flaw in our system in the same way that like the gleaning laws in the Old Testament does, where it's like, yeah, like, you know, leave the, you know, don't harvest your corners, whatever you drop, leave on the ground for those that don't own land. It's like God built in this thing to address an injustice. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, even just, you know, the exposure of this is like, yeah, good for you that you left the food there. But what that's saying is there's plenty of food for everyone. Like, you know, so in my mind, like you said, this was already a low income community. These were already in rent control areas. Well, if you already know that about this place, you know, you don't have to charge them. You already know they can't afford it. Like you don't have to charge them something, you know, they can't afford. And then expect somebody else to come in. Although I'm glad somebody else came in to do it. I'm sorry, I'm taking over.
No, but I think it's right that it indicates a problem.
That's where my brain went.
If in order, I don't know, can you guys hear those jets flying over right now? I think there's some weather balloon activity. They've dispatched a few F-22s.
It was just some kid's birthday party, and they let the balloons drifted up into the sky.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, the Air Force just.
I got some Chick-fil-A help I needed, so I put up a call. It's one of those inflatable cowl things, and it got away from me.
The only way you can pop a cow balloon is clearly an F-15. $400,000 missile.
Hellfire missile.
$400,000.
We'll blast that. We'll blast that bad boy out of the sky. No, but Prop, I think to your point, yeah, I mean, like, I think it is awesome and incredibly generous, but it also shows, like, look, if it's taking someone like of extreme wealth to voluntarily just, you know, kind of randomly donate, I think it is indicative of, you know, other larger social problems. I think you see this at, like, in healthcare a lot of times when someone with insurance, you know, gets sick and, you know, sets up a GoFundMe, because even with that, there are obviously systemic issues, you know, that are probably complex to unpack. But the fact that people like Tyler Perry or what we've seen with some churches that'll do, you know, we'll have food banks or give away gas when gas prices,
or buy, like, medical debt or something.
Yeah. I think, you know, it is encouraging to see people kind of step up to the plate, because so many systems are, you know, inherently broken, where, you know, there's not enough, you know, or imbalanced, you know. It's always encouraging to see stories like this.
Yeah. All right. What else, Emily?
The last one I have, I feel like I should go ahead and apologize to Prop, because he's going to hate that we're talking about this. But Ashton Kutcher willingly admitted that he pours orange juice into his coffee every morning.
Yes.
So
Emily and I talked about this. We posted this on our website. This is the craziest thing. He said, prop, he doesn't like cream and sugar. Yeah. And so he usually drinks it black. But he said he has a certain roast that has citrus notes in it. And he's found that if he, with that particular roast, if he puts a splash of orange juice in it, it enhances the citrus notes in the beans and it makes it wonderful. He said it's the only thing he'll put in his coffee. Yeah. What are your thoughts about this? Because it sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So two thoughts. First of all, I have a cousin who my whole life has never liked milk and he put orange juice in his cereal my whole life. That's just what he's always done. I just think it was the strangest thing I ever heard in my life. It's just what he done. Still haven't tried it to this day, but he's done that. Now, that's one thought. The coffee side, there are certain roasts based on the terrain and the chemistry of the ground that does have a citrus taste. Now, a few months back, y'all wanna dive into the nerdery? Like, let me steer y'all into like specialty coffee nerdery. There was a few months where this was like Biggie and Tupac level beef as to like who was down to drink their espresso with orange juice. So people were like frothing orange juice, like on your espresso machine, frothing orange juice and they're trying to make it a thing. People were putting orange wedges on the top of their drinks, to their espressos just to see. And it really, really drove it was a civil war in coffee. Now,
Rob, real quick, I just want to note Cameron's high-end Italian cappuccino maker I found does have an orange juice frothing button.
Yeah.
Now, it's very, we didn't know that. We had to look at the instruction booklet because the symbol is like the outline of a show pony with a shooting star and two triangles. And what I think is the eye of the Illuminati. In the corner. Yeah. But evidently that's
big triangle.
Most people in Italy.
Apparently
know
that means orange.
Orange juice.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently that means a frothed orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Okay, but you tried it.
So I tried it. Now, and? if you like tonic water, like if you're into like drinks with like a gin and tonic, like if you like that tang, you're gonna like it. Mm. But if you don't like tonic water and that type of like zesty kind of like, if you can drink like, you know, sparkling water that has that weird kind of like, what is that taste? Then you might like it. I tried it just to say I did. I didn't try it hot because I felt like hot orange juice is weird. So I tried it in an iced Americano with orange juice. And it was like interesting. It tasted like a tonic, like a coffee tonic. But it's not for everyone.
Yeah. It feels weird to me.
But then again, if you think to yourself, why is milk not weird? Like any combination is somewhat weird if you think about it long enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
All food is weird if you think about it long enough, pretty much, unless you're eating vegetables.
All food is weird if you think about it long enough. Pork loin is a butt.
I mean, even vegetables, that's just something growing in the dirt and we're going to like pull it out of the ground and eat the root.
It's a root.
And it's like,
it's the root. It's weird.
Anyway. I tried to make this on Cameron's coffee machine and somehow I entered it into a 4-hour cleaning mode where it sprayed me with steam directly in the face.
Yeah.
Is this?
But
I didn't know self-cleaning meant cleaning me.
It got hot to it was like the corn baller on Arrested Development. Like I severely burned my hand out.
Yes.
So that's just part of the cleaning process.
All right. Well, that'll do it for Relevant Buzz. Make sure to check out all of our coverage each weekday over at relevantmagazine.com. Thanks, Emily. All right, stay tuned. Up next, Katie Nicole joins us. You're listening to Eve's Tumor, or Eve's Tumor. The song is Echolalia. Echolalia. There's a lot of ways I can mispronounce this one, and I've probably done them all. All right.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
Well, our guest today is Katie Nicole. She's a rising Christian artist who started out on TikTok and has grown so much over the last 2 years. Her first single, In Jesus' Name, God If Possible, spent 20 weeks as the number one Christian song, and she's dropping her debut full-length album today. Katie spoke with Emily about how her life has changed in a short time, what it was like creating her first album, and where she plans to go next. Here's our conversation with Katie Nicole.
I feel like things really got started for you back in 2020 when you shared your song In Jesus' Name on TikTok. What was going on in your life when you posted that?
You know, I was writing a lot. I had written out a lot of songs, you know, just kind of preparing. I was already signed to a record label, and they were just like, all right, go write with anybody and everybody. And so that was kind of how it went. Is that I was just in writes every day or every, you know, other day. And so I ended up writing the song In Jesus' Name, God If Possible. But the original song is a very different song than what you hear today. So I posted a clip of me singing just the one part that is on TikTok. And that just kind of took off. Like, it was crazy. It was an unexpected thing to happen because I was like, I like this and I think there's something special about this, but I don't know why I feel that way. You know, like, I know that there's power in prayer, but I know that not everyone necessarily feels that way. And so, and a lot of times too, especially at that time, I just felt like a lot of times people would see prayer as like almost not necessarily like something that they felt like they needed. Like, it wasn't something that they wanted from people. And I was like, but you don't understand. Like, you don't understand what I understand, you know? And so, you know, putting out this song that basically is just that is kind of crazy because it's taken the life of being a lot of people's prayer, you know, and they're praying it over their loved ones or praying it over themselves. And so I think that's very beautiful and very amazing.
How great this love. Oh, it's faithful through my failures. This trust in love.
I want to talk a bit more about the album. Is there like a message with this album or just something that you hope audiences like take away from this album?
Yes, actually, the reason why the album is called Jesus Changed My Life is because all of these songs kind of encapsulate that in different ways. Of just how Jesus has changed my life, whether it's, you know, through prayer or whether it's through praise or whether it's through, you know, talking about how God has brought me from, you know, darkness to light. Like, he has transformed my life, and I want to encourage people to turn to Jesus so that they know just how awesome he is, just how good he can be in your life. And I also want to make people feel less alone, you know, like, I want people to feel like, you know, like, I'm a normal person who's going through struggles, and I'm still going through struggles even now, you know. And so those people on the side, that the listening side, I just want them to feel like this is something I can relate to. This is me, kind of thing, you know.
God is in this story.
That was Katie Nicole. Make sure to check out her debut album, Jesus Changed My Life. It's available today. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. You're listening to Men I Trust. The song is Ring of Past.
Well, Relevant has a lot happening this year, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Make sure to sign up for our newsletter right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com, and we'll send you our top five trending stories into your inbox every weekday. We'll also send you a weekly podcast newsletter with the latest episodes, some fan extras, and first peeks at the new shows that we're going to be rolling out throughout this year. Make sure to sign up. It's the best way to keep in touch with everything we got going on.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we asked you to ask us. It was an Ask the Cast week. You guys went over to Twitter and hit us up at Relevant Podcast. And here's a few of the questions I will lob over to the crew. All right. Well, Nani wrote in, this is a heavy one to start off with. I'm just doing a grab bag. Here we go. Nani asks, what is your definition of being an adult and a child of God or childlike faith in today's culture?
Does she know who's on this cast?
She's going for the deep dive. Yeah.
Do I need to pretend to be Derek?
Yeah. No, I think in probably a very like inarticulate, off the cuff way. Like, I mean, I think it's being like, if you had to balance both of those, I would say being mature, like emotionally and relationally, but then also the childlike thing. I think sometimes like childlikeness when it comes to faith is really just taking a good faith approach to people and not assuming the worst case scenario for every one that you know that you may not agree with, or you may not have the same background of, but taking a good faith approach when trying to engage with those with people who think differently or ideas that challenge you, instead of getting combative and hostile, you know, like kind of keeping a degree of like open of like, I'm not going to assume that this person wants to destroy everything that I think just because they think differently. Yeah. Instead, taking a good faith approach, I think
it's good.
There is a childlikeness to that, while also if you want just maintaining a degree of just maturity and just being like, why should I get bent out of shape if someone thinks differently than me?
I that's where my mind went, is the difference between like old age, you get more cynical. The more you know, the more skeptical you are, you tend to become. Mm. And childlike faith is there's an openness and a hopefulness. And, you know, there's a joy that I think, you know, we need to be intentional about trying to have in our daily lives. You know?
In my mind, like my brain goes to more like wonder and awe and still being surprised, mm-hmm. and like just the excitement and just like I am on an adventure, you know what I mean? While at the same time being fully aware of your responsibilities, you know, the way you move through the world, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, that's that maturity Jesse's talking about. Like I'm aware of not only what I am saying, but how I'm being perceived, and I'm taking responsibility even for that. You know, I'm aware of my responsibilities as an adult, like bills to pay, family to take care of, you know what I'm saying? The physical stuff, but also like, yeah, my emotional responsibilities of like, I am my brother's keeper. You know what I'm saying? I am responsible for how I speak to my friends and to people around me and how I show up in the world. But at the same time, I'm still in awe. Like it's Disneyland. I still want to walk in there and have my imagination run wild as to like what God might actually do. You know, again, I know I got responsibilities and I know like I'm not just out here being silly because I am an adult where it's just like, it's not magic how food gets in the refrigerator. I work, you know, but I am also still in full of wonderment as to like how any of this is still happening, and I'm still excited about the joys of what tomorrow might bring. To me, it's those two things.
Yep. All right, next one. We'll do quick, like more rapid fire for these. All right, here we go. Kyle wrote in, he said, I'm 20. What's the most difficult thing about getting older? Taxes? I don't know.
Your knees.
Yeah, responsibility.
My body doesn't bounce back like it used to. Like, the day
after, you're not old. You're in your mid-20s. You can't talk. Okay. Kyle is asking the grown folks. He's not asking somebody 5 years old.
I can still answer this. Okay.
The oldie laughs.
Yeah. Real talk. Savor every moment that you don't have to worry about. Like, I don't know Kyle's situation. I don't know if he's, you know, in a relationship. I don't know. I'm assuming he doesn't have kids, but who knows? Life is very simple. Or until it's not, you know what I mean?
Oh, and it is, that's it
like,
for me.
Like, and you never realize things get complicated and you know, your mind's racing. cherish the time. You might not have a lot to your name. That is a blessing as well. You know, you might want more, but dude, that is the hardest part of getting older, having to worry, you know, having to concern your mind with so many different things when being young, it's just like, oh, cool, man. What are we doing? What are we doing tonight? You know, like that is a fun part of life, even if you don't have all the stuff you might want, you know?
All right. Danielle wrote in, what book shaped your view of the world? And I'm going to add, not the Bible. What book shaped your view of the world? Prop, I'm curious about yours.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was going to say this is hard because then the Black Panther daddy jumps in.
Okay.
You know, growing up in that type of world. But I think, I mean, there's a handful of them. So there's Black Boy by Richard Wright, really shaped a lot of the world. But then actually really a book in college called A Different Mirror by Ronald Takaki. And it it's a survey. It goes through different ethnic minorities and their process of immigrating into America. And it tells each of their stories. So there's like a, you know, there's a Chinese story, a Japanese story, you know, it starts with the Native Americans and then it just moves through these different things. And just the way to look at, you know, this American experience, you know, experiment from all these different perspectives. And it's a lot of stuff like I never thought about, you know, and, you know, I remember in middle school, you got to do the Ellis Island project, you know, and I was like, and you were supposed to say, oh, pick a person you're going to be. And I was like, I don't know which one I'm supposed to be.
Irish.
None of this sounds like, I know, right? That's the closest, I guess, right? I was like, I don't know who I'm supposed to dress up as, but this ain't how we got here, you know? But being able to just like see all these different experiences, I think it just like a lot. So really, yeah, like honestly, a lot of the stuff y'all see in my music, that's very multi-ethnic, multicultural, that's very, you know, that talks a lot about the pluralism and understanding people from other perspectives and how that showed up in my music and my poetry. Honestly, I would say it's probably A Different Mirror, that book.
That's amazing. All right. Yeah. There's a lot more questions. We could do another edition of this. I appreciate you guys all writing in. Okay. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
All right. Well, earlier in the show, we got to talk about infomercials. Well, Jesse did. And got us thinking about all-time infomercials. If you grew up in the 90s or even 2000s, you saw infomercials. And there's certain ones that have stood the test of time. I think about the guy who puts a piece of tape on a rowboat and stops it from sinking. Yeah, Flex Seal. There's certain ones that just stay in your brain. So we want to know your all-time infomercials. And if you can send us a link, like a YouTube link, we will play some of them on the show. We want to know your all-time infomercials.
I saw one day that was like covert and I legit ended up watching it for like an hour because at first I thought it's just some like sitcom that I just don't know about. The production value seems pretty high, but all of the it was like people had like just hanging out in their kitchen and then like the neighbors would walk in. All of the conversations were revolving around salsa and the salsa maker.
I was going to say that the salsa,
oh my God.
They're all in the kitchen. They're around the bar at the kitchen.
They're having side conversation. Yeah, but you're also like, what am I watching here? Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
I do. I was going to mention it. It's the salsa lifestyle. You can make perfect salsa with the bullet. I think it was
and
for the bullet.
People will just come through. People I think it's will for just the bullet. Come over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all had different bullets. Like the owner had like nine bullets for nine people. And he made their own little sauces in the little bullet bowl. I think that's what it's for.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, now,
my mind immediately goes to the blue blockers.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The blue blockers.
Night and day. Night and day. If you're out on the road, there's too much road glare, Emily.
Yeah,
you need to wear the blue blockers.
Yeah. Remember what it said? It's I'm a hip hopper. Blockers.
If there was like a Netflix vertical, like when you know when you're scrolling, it's like comedy,
documentaries,
action adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
If there was just like late night infomercials, and it was just all the classics, you're telling me you wouldn't settle in and like guys. I ordered this ladder from 1997. It's great. Three different heights. I can hold the paint can on it. You know what I mean?
Like, remember the Floby?
Flowbee.
You remember the Flowbee? It was Emily, have you heard about this? It was a hair cutting device in the 80s, and you took a wet dry vac, right? A garage vacuum. And on the end of the hose, you connected the Flowbee, and the Flowbee would give you a perfect haircut. You would just run it through your hair and it would suck your hair to go straight. And then it would cut it.
Famously parodied in Wayne's World, where they ordered one and were performing the haircut on Garth with like the inventor, and Wayne just kept talking about how much this invention sucks. And it was like just the same perfect joke for an extended scene in Wayne's.
Sometimes I really wish y'all could be black people and watch a commercial like that.
Yeah.
But we were like, what?
That is about the whitest appliance I've ever seen.
I don't know, fam. Y'all know y'all market, because this is not us.
I went on a deep dive to find a Flowbee on like eBay a couple months ago, and they're out there. You can get brand new in the box Flowbee still. All right. Hit us up on Twitter @RelevantPodcast and tell us your favorite infomercials. Send us links. It'll be fun next week. Well, before we wrap things up, I have a lot of things to thank today. First of all, I want to thank Katie Nicole for joining us. Make sure to check out her debut album. It releases today. It's called Jesus Changed My Life. Won't he do it? I also want to thank Prop for sitting in with us for the entire show. It's always fun. He mentioned at the beginning a special deal for Relevant Podcast listeners. Go to terraformcoldbrew.com. If you don't know how to spell it, it's T-E-R-R-A, terraformcoldbrew.com. And like he mentioned, you can use promo code RELEVANT when you check out to get 15% off. Go do it. Supporting a great man and great cause and great coffee. Go check it out. Also, he's got a book out. The Terraform is the whole thing. It's four albums. It's four EPs. It's a book. It's a coffee, everything. So go check out prophiphop.com. If you want to find out more about the book in particular, prophiphop.com/book. Also, make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com. We are covering the intersection of faith, life, and culture every day. We got a lot of stuff about Asbury. If you want to go check out all that and what comes next, we will be covering it. Our spring digital issue is coming out soon. You don't want to miss that. We're posting 10, 15 items every day at the website. Make sure to follow us on all the socials for the latest. And if you aren't really on the social thing, you know, but you want to keep in touch with the best of the best, you can sign up for our every weekday. We send out a newsletter with our top 5 trending stories from the website. It's a great way to stay in touch. You can sign up right there on the front page at relevantmagazine.com. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Propaganda.
Thanks for sitting in, man. That was a lot of fun. And
so fun.
Everybody, stay tuned, because next Tuesday's episode, Prop will be back. Don't miss it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
It sprayed me with steam directly in the face.
Relevant Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.